Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud today. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song. My power turned up. Stop it right now. I'll be done. I'll play my fight.
Fighting back, that's what it is. But that's not what I'm doing the show about. Right now, it's in the evening here. It was a nice, balmy day here for once, which is wonderful. And the subject of this is we're going to have Yu Chang Ma on the radio to talk about the Children's Orchestra Society. And a gala event that's coming up. I will wait till later to play the sponsor. And so right now, let's have her on. Hi, Yu Chang. How are you?
Hello, Merles. What a pleasure to be invited to your radio talk show.
Well, listen, you might as well follow the footsteps of your daughter, who I had on before.
Wonderful.
But did she tell you, by the way?
Oh, yes, absolutely. She said
Oh, okay.
How helpful you are.
Just want to make sure. Okay, so first, the first thing I want you to do is introduce yourself, and you can brag about as much as you want. Go ahead.
Okay, so my name is Yu Chang Ma, and I've been playing the violin since I was 2 and a half and the piano at age 3. And my father started this orchestra called the Children's Orchestra. We came to the United States in the early 60s, where people told him, Dr. Ma, in America, children play baseball, not symphony orchestra. And that's why we got that name. So after my father retired, my husband and I took over the orchestra after a 7-year dormancy and started it from scratch again, betting our mortgage on it. And so now we are in our 34th year with my husband and myself. My father had it for 15 years, so we're in our 49th year. And we're doing a gala concert at the K Playhouse at Hunter College on May 24th.
That's in New York City, by the way.
Yes, it's in New York City, on Park Avenue and 68th Street. It's named after Danny Kaye and Sylvia Kaye. My brother and I have had the wonderful opportunity of meeting Danny Kaye in 1962, and we were so impressed by how funny he was and how personable he was. So we're very honored to be playing in that hall.
And by the way, I understand that you and your brother Yo-Yo played together like when you were kids. You accompanied each other?
Played together. Yes, we did. Actually, we were on the occasion that we met Danny Kaye was the occasion for the very first telecast, which was an event to raise money to build the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And how old? So how old were you at the time? And how old was he? The two of you. How old were the two of you?
I was either 10 or 11, and he was 7.
Uh-huh. So well, that really. So in other words, that's what I see on YouTube. That little.
Yes. There's a little clip that gets played every so often. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's really great. And so that's wonderful. So with the children's orchestras, what is the aim, by the way? I understand it's you have it as a non-profit organization?
It is a not-for-profit organization, and its mission is to teach children the language of music. I mean, my father believed that music is a language, and since most kids learn to speak, he sees no reason why not everybody could just learn music also.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I have also seen music as a language. It's like, you know, when you're dealing with music theory, I mean, you're learning this whole language,
mm-hmm.
and then you can take it and apply it to various instruments once you
exactly. We try to
understand
it. To tell stories when they play. So that it's just like using a language to tell stories. And, you know, our orchestra went on tour to China last year, and the kids were amazed how they could communicate with the Chinese kids, even though they didn't speak each other's spoken language, but we were able to collaborate and play with them and just, you know, really communicate through music.
Oh, that's wonderful. When you went to China, did you meet up with also like children that were also playing instruments or?
Oh, absolutely. We were in a festival in Shanghai where we were was about 2,000 campers, and we performed in Shanghai Symphony Hall. It was such an exciting event.
Oh, yes, I bet. Wow.
There were choruses from Hungary, from Taiwan, from Hong Kong, and there was an orchestra from Shanghai where they pick each kid that they pick, they have to reject 999. So it's like 1 out of 1,000 kids who
wow.
end up in the Shanghai Orchestra. That's pretty strict competition.
Yeah. What is it like in terms of the Children's Orchestra Society? Is it kind of like, you know, if you want to join, you join, or how?
We have an audition process where we basically would like to hear what the kids play and how they deal with sight reading, and also we, you know, like to meet the children, because one of the things that's special about our organization is that we devise individualized curriculum for each child. You know, nowadays there's a push for personalized medicine, so this is personalized music education. So whatever the kid's strong points or their weak points, we try to, you know, make sure that we provide help for them to get stronger in their weak points, and we, of course, you know, showcase their strong points. So,
you know, where in terms of, let's say, the audition, how do these kids get to find out about the Orchestra Society?
Most of our kids come through word of mouth, because we don't really do much advertising. We're pretty active on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and it's just parents tell other parents, or the music teachers, or the music stores tell them about us, and we have, you know, certain people really like the way that we teach music, and so we get these wonderful families that stay with us for years and years. And
do you do any teaching?
I teach private lessons and also chamber music. Chamber music.
So do any of the, let's say, do any of the students come to you and say, you know, I want to do better, can I get private lessons? Or is it a case of just students that come to you and then they wind up in the orchestra, or how does that, is there any, you know?
Well, I mean, I try to encourage everybody I teach to be in the orchestra because that is one way that they get motivated to get better if they see other kids doing similar things, you know. Actually, that was the reason my father started the orchestra, because he noticed that American kids are not particularly fond of practicing. And he knows that in China, he says, well, you know, in China I can beat the kid, and in France I can beat the kid, but in America it's illegal to beat a child. So he says, I know, I'll put them in an orchestra, and then they'll, the ones who practice will move ahead and, you know, in seating, and then the others will complain.
Right.
How come so-and-so moved up? And he would just smile and say, oh, they practiced.
Uh-huh. Oh, so yeah. There is a situation. I mean, obviously, I'm guessing that the biggest move in terms of this would be the person who's the concertmaster. Is that the?
Oh yes, everybody wants to be, you know, just like everybody wants to be a quarterback in football. Everybody
right.
wants to be concertmaster in playing violin.
Right. So, in other words, if I'm watching the orchestra moving up, is that meaning? Like being closer to the stage, or how is that, like
closer to the concertmaster, you know, going from the
okay.
Back
so,
of the
oh, I see.
Yeah, I mean we have
that's
two,
interesting. I know
we have two yeah. seating auditions per year, and so we tell the kids that if you like your seat, you better practice because somebody wants your seat, and if you don't like your seat, you better practice because then you can improve yourself. So
okay, that's. That's really interesting. Why do you see that kids like that they don't like to practice? Why? I'm asking because like I grew up like playing the piano, and it's like, well, if I don't practice, I can't learn the next piece of music. I'm,
well, I think
kind
that
of
children nowadays have a completely different mindset. I think the way that my husband describes it is that in the past when the coach says jump, you know, they would say how high. And now you ask a kid to jump and they look at you and they go, why? So there's also a lot of distraction. Everybody's on their phone, on their computer, on their iPad. There's just so much going on in a young person's mind. You know, when I was little, all I did was, you know, study and practice.
Yeah, that's funny. And by the way, I have to tell you something that's quite funny because in dealing with the women's tackle football team, they have these things for children to learn, and
mm-hmm.
I guess they were teenagers there, you know, playing
right.
at the. Learn how to play tag football, and
right.
and there was a coach there, and I, you know, for the girls' teams, and I turned to him and I said, oh, "Do you find it different coaching girls or boys?"
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Yes." He says, "With the boys, when you tell them to do something, they just do it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just do it. When you coach the women, they say, well, why am I doing it?'" Explain to me why I'm doing it. So in the long run, what happens is that the women, because they know why they're doing it, won't have to question it again.
I see. That's pretty funny.
And I thought it was like when you said that kind of
mm-hmm.
a thing, how high or whatever, you know, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
We actually have people who come and audition, and we say, well, we'd like you to play a scale, so they, you know, they know they have to play scale, so they play a scale. So he says, well, now we would like you to play an arpeggio, and they look at us and say, we don't do that.
Oh.
I don't do that.
That's and really funny.
It's hysterical. And then we say, how about a minor scale? Oh, no, I don't do that either. So...
That's interesting, and it's And it was like fundamental of me to learn all these things.
Of course.
As I was playing the piano, for my piano teacher to teach everything.
The basics. It's the basics.
Yeah, more than just the, well, actually the goal, it was interesting because the goal was for so that I can go to the High School of Music and Art.
Oh, yes.
That was the eventual goal. And I think because I had skipped a couple of years and I started playing the piano at 10, I went to high school, I think, I guess at like 13 or something like that.
Wow.
So kind of what happened is like, okay, well, we have like so much time to prepare me to get to the school.
Right.
And it was interesting to notice like it's whatever she taught, you know, okay, I have to learn it, I'll learn it, you know. But she taught like I didn't realize until later on as things happened that I learned like how to sight read music or how I would be able to be very clear on listening to music. I mean, somebody goes off key like 2 seconds, 2 little bits, it's like it hurts my ear. No one else notices.
That's good. So you had a good teacher and you took to your lessons. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, so to go back to this, but this is the performance has to do with the Young Symphonic Ensemble.
Right, that is our senior orchestra. So we have 4 different orchestras, and the Young Symphonic Ensemble is the most advanced orchestra, and we also take some kids from the third level orchestra who move to the front of the orchestra, so they get rewarded by being able to play with a senior orchestra, and they get a taste of what it's like to be in with the big boys and the girls, you know. Although, you know, one of the other special things about our orchestra is we don't have a lower age limit for the senior orchestra, unlike many schools where they do everything by age. So some of the children who leave our orchestra to go to other schools find out that because of their age, if they're 8 or 9 or 10, they get put in the baby orchestra no matter how advanced they are. So that to them is very discouraging. Whereas we feel that if a child can play up to a certain level and doesn't fall asleep during rehearsal, they can be with a senior orchestra.
So how young is the youngest person and how old is the oldest person at this point?
The youngest person in the senior orchestra right now is 10 years old. And the oldest, I guess, is either 17 or 18. It's, you know, high school senior.
Okay. So, I mean, after that, do they go on
to
something else?
Well, when they go to college, right? When they go to college, they don't necessarily go to college locally. But those who do go locally, they like to come back and play with us. Well,
oh, that's great. So, so in terms of this event, why is it the called the Discovery Gala?
Because we have a discovery competition, which has 2 levels, the junior and the senior level, and this is the first year that the seniors did not really want to compete. There was only one person who wanted to do the competition, and so we couldn't have the competition for the senior level. So we invited an alumnus of ours who went to Juilliard at the age of 9, and he certainly would have won. I mean, he won competition for both double bass and percussion when he was at Juilliard. He won the concerto competition several times, and he's actually playing marimba. He was the only kid that I've known that before the age of 8, he gets up at 5:30 in the morning without being told and practices both his instruments before going to school.
Oh, wow.
Yep. That's how motivated he was.
Yeah, it's also something kind of, part of it, you know, there's a kind of twofold thing of, I guess, somebody wants you to do something and learn it. versus you want to learn it, you know. So the kind of like, well, I don't really want it, but I'm, you know, I'm told I have to do it. But more, I guess, within is probably more motivating.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could tell me, you could have told me, my parents never said you need to practice. Listen, I got to go and practice, you know. So can everybody keep it down?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll probably be at the piano for, I don't know, an hour or so, I don't know, however I feel.
That's great.
But it was something, again, this was something, you know, within myself that I wanted to accomplish. Of course, I never really totally accomplished moving my fingers as quickly as I would have liked to.
Yes. Well, I mean, that takes a huge amount of work. I mean,
yes.
Just to get your fingers to be obedient is a very tedious job.
I suppose it's the same thing kind of with playing, like playing the violin, you know, and how fast can you play and get the notes correctly, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, you know, my husband and I went to Taiwan to perform at one point, and the audience was kind of very quiet, and so we didn't really know whether they liked the concert or not. So then people came backstage and asked questions. So one person asked, how many notes per minute does he play? I said, well, I can translate the question, but I don't know that he even knows the answer because we don't sit there and count how many notes we play.
You're right.
That was pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. So, and I understand, oh, by the way, just to let people know, you're also a pediatrician as well.
I am. Mm-hmm.
And also, yeah. Is that like when you emailed me when you said you have to go to, you know, wherever you said you go, I didn't want to talk about it. I mean, are you still involved with that as well?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, you know, I've been at Albert Einstein College of Medicine for the past 37 years, and I think as of May, I will be retiring from that job, but I still have a school job where I am a school doctor for Mount Vernon. I'm the medical director at Mount Vernon School District.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Where the children challenge me, they say, you know, are you the doctor? And I said, yes. They go, are you qualified? I look at them and I said, yes, I went to Harvard Medical School. They go, oh, my gosh, you must be smart. I go, nevertheless, just do what I say, okay?
Yeah, that's funny. That's so typical.
That's kids, right. Well,
but, okay, so... now, getting back to it, did we talk? Because you said you had four different
orchestras. Yes.
Orchestras.
Uh-huh.
Did we go through all of them, or?
Well, the Kinder Orchestra is the youngest orchestra. They are the kids under 10, and they just have some rudimentary command of their instruments. So they are just learning to take turns, listening and playing. Usually the very young children, we let them, you know, since everybody wants to be concert master, but the very young children, we just let each child have a chance to lead, and they very quickly find out that they can't be a good leader if they don't have followers. So they learn quickly that they have to pay attention and follow, otherwise the leader fails. So that's a good lesson for them to learn.
Yeah.
And then the next level orchestra is called the Sinfonia, and it's directed by a very energetic young conductor, and the kids love him, but they also, you know, love to tease him and abuse him. But he, you know, he really gets them to play their best. It's fantastic. And then the third level orchestra is called the Junior Symphonic Ensemble, at one point we had Orchestra A and Orchestra B, and so the most senior orchestra was called Orchestra B because everybody wants to be in Orchestra A, right? So the Junior Symphonic Ensemble is actually what would have been called Orchestra A. And it is being directed by one of our young alums who came to this country in 10th grade, speaking almost no English, but he went on to, he got a wonderful review by Anthony Tomasini of the New York Times when he was a senior, and then he went to Stony Brook, and then he went to Queens College for more education, and so now he's back teaching with us.
Oh, that's great. Now, in terms of location, you're actually located on, the orchestra is located on Long Island, correct?
Right. Our office address is in Queens, but our rehearsals are at the Long Island High School for the Arts in Syosset.
So in terms of the students, do you wind up getting most that are from the area of Long Island
We get students from the tri-state area. Our furthest students have come from Paramus, New Jersey, and West Hartford, Connecticut. One day I got a phone call from somebody who says, "Excuse me, can you give me driving directions?" I go, "Certainly I could. Where are you coming from?" She said, "West Hartford." And I said, "Well, ma'am, I know exactly where that is because the year before I had gotten an honorary doctorate degree from a school in West Hartford," right? So I said, "I know how far it is, and I'm sure you don't want to do this every week." And she says, "Oh, I'm sure I do." I go, "Well, ma'am, this is America. You do as you please." So so they drove their kids here, the oldest kid for 5 years from West Hartford, every week from West Hartford, and then he went on to play first viola at Harvard for the next 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, the motivation really works, you know.
Yep. I mean, one quarter of our kids go to Ivy League schools when they graduate.
Wow. Well, there's a sense of, like, when you really kind of, I guess, getting in terms of the whole language of music, I mean, you have to also, there's so much, I guess, intelligence involved because there's a lot of, it's kind of mathematical in a way. You know, you're dealing with a kind of math. You're dealing with logic of it. You know, so all these things that's making your mind work and probably can apply that in terms of, you know, your own scholastic abilities as well.
Right.
You know, it's like the kind of thing I have to tell you, it was so weird when I realized this. I was sitting at the piano one day, and I would sit there. I sing, so what happens is when I play the piano, I have to have the music in front of me. I don't know, for some reason I can't memorize it. But anyway, so I have the music in front of me. Mm-hmm. And when I have the music in front of me, it's usually not the key that I'm singing it in.
Yeah.
So as I'm playing the piano, I don't write anything down. In my mind, I have to transpose it. As I'm playing the chords, because the chords are there. So.
Right.
And in mathematically, I'm always thinking fourths or fifths.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the mind is doing this. So I'm also not the kind of person, I have to keep every once in a while looking down at my fingers to make sure it's all correct. As I'm doing this entire thing and singing and looking at the words and so on and so forth, I one day realized that as I'm doing this, my mind tends to go off and think about something completely different.
Uh-huh. That's easy to do.
And I looked at this one day and I said, "Really? I didn't realize how much I multitask with my brain."
You're remarkable. You're a remarkable person.
But it's just that You know, it was just interesting because then in terms of analyzing, because of the fourths and fifths, that's the mathematical part of it. Or
right.
Sometimes I can think in thirds, a third up or a third down. But it,
right.
You know, that's how I, you know, kind of do it. But so that's, you know, I'm just saying that that's the mathematics that I use that's involved in doing this. And I don't know how if kids think on that level or not when they, you know, as they're playing their instrument in terms of.
Well, the thing about kids is that when they start very young, they don't think at all. They just do it. You know?
Okay.
You know, there's something about, you know, your native language. You don't really remember the rules of grammar in your native language. You know, I grew up speaking French and Chinese and, of course, music. So when somebody asks me about a grammatical rule in French, of which they have many, I usually cannot even think of the rule because I just speak French. You know, it's
right.
happen to do pigeon sign. You know, I take care of deaf patients. And so one time I asked the kid, you know, he was seeing that I was signing. He goes, "Oh, did you learn sign?" I said, "Well, yes, I did learn sign." And so he goes, "Well, I didn't have to learn sign. My mom taught it to me." So that, you know, he just feels like, you know, if he learned it from home, then it's not really like learning in school, you know. That's what he said.
Ah. Yeah. that's kind of true. Yeah. So so tell me and a little bit about Michael. So he what is his role with this, his role in all
Michael is the artistic director, so he decides what pieces we play, and then he's also the principal conductor of the senior orchestra. So you know, he has
Does anybody
to...
ever like submit pieces to you and say, "Well, you know, I have this, you know, the thing that I wrote, you know, a piece of classical music. Would you like to use it or try it or whatever?"
Yes, yes, people do that. And then sometimes we do perform their pieces. I think one of our clarinetists, his father is a composer, so we're going to play his piece in June.
Oh, okay. That's really great. So it's like not all of like, "Oh, what are they playing? Oh, they're doing a Beethoven. They're doing a, you know," in other words,
well, I mean,
not every one of them has to be.
We're playing a piece by Leonard Bernstein because it's his centennial. We are playing a marimba concerto by Neil Rosaro, and our other guest soloist is a violinist, and she's playing three pieces. One is a piece by Michael, which is based on a phone number, by the way, of his friend, and a Chinese piece, which is very exciting, and selections from Porgy and Bess.
Oh, that's a wide range of
So we have the east and the west. Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, that's really great. Now, also, can you tell me about the two students that you have that are from Queens?
Yes, one of our students who is from Queens, his name is Johan Lee. He is a student of Maestro Byung Kwak, who is a very famous teacher. And, you know, he is an excellent player and very quiet boy. The other one, Jeffrey Young, I met him when he was 6 years old. He came and he played the piano, and we said, "Well, that's great, but it would be better if you played an orchestral instrument because an orchestra doesn't always use a piano." And so he disappeared for a year. Then he came back a year later to show us that he has started taking violin lessons. And at age 7, he was studying with 3 different teachers. And so I told his mom, I said, "You know, that's not such a great idea. It's very confusing to be studying with 3 teachers. Let me try to get him organized, and so I taught him for 2 years, and now he's back with one of his old teachers. He went through each one of the orchestra each year, so now he's in the senior orchestra. He went on tour with us. He is a very eager young child, wants to play all the hardest pieces ever, and very enthusiastic.
Wow, that's really cool. Do you, like, tend to, like, by the way, you know how I am with networking.
Yes.
Well, I've come up with some more ideas that I want to talk to you about, but we'll talk after.
All right.
Because I'm always covering events all the time. I said, Let's see if we can network. Let's see if we can connect this one with this one kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
It's like matchmaking, right?
Yes. I said, why not? That's my attitude is, you know, if I can do it, why not?
Well,
that's
it doesn't hurt. I mean, you know, you're just matchmaking.
It.
It's up to them to figure it out.
Yeah, right? It's like...
You take no responsibility, you know?
Yeah. I guess you didn't, by the way, you didn't get the joke. I guess you didn't catch that when you said, are you free tonight? And I said, no, of course, the $1.50.
Right, sorry about that. I was like, what?
No, it's because I'm so infused with the comedy, you know, learning comedy.
Yeah, right.
A comedian.
Well, Michael would be the perfect interviewee for you because he cannot stop from joking.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. Well, at some point I'll do an interview with him as well.
Yes. You won't be able to speak because you'll be laughing so hard.
Oh, good. I don't mind at all. You know, it's. I need people to deliver some lines to me as well, you know.
Well, and
learn some new ones to tell other people.
For sure.
Oh, Merle, that's so old. You told that so many times. Oh, okay. Let's see.
Well, I don't try to be funny, but people tell me that I'm very funny. So.
Well, yes, you are. You have a great sense of humor. Yes, you do. So, is there anything else like that, you know, that we could add to? The question I guess I wanted to find out. So, like, for instance, the two students from Queens.
Yes.
Did they find out about this just because, like, because your address is Queens, or it had nothing to do with it?
You know, we do have a web presence, so we have one mom called me up from Canada and said that she had a really talented kid, and could he come to our orchestra once a month? And I said to her, I said, that's not a really good idea. That's not going to work. So, and then so he came to our summer program, and right now he's studying composition with my husband, and he might, you know, he is in one of the schools in Manhattan, and he, you know, he might come to our orchestra or he might not. I don't know. So we'll see. I mean, so people find us. I don't know exactly how.
Okay. I'm just curious, when you perform, I mean, from what I get, it looks like you tend to perform in Manhattan in terms of locations.
Our season concerts are actually in Syosset. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's usually wherever we're rehearsing, you know. And theater is wonderful because it's an art school, so they have a great theater. We do perform in Manhattan once in a while. I mean, our faculty does a concert in Manhattan just because, you know, we have a following in Manhattan.
Right. When you perform in Manhattan, do you always wind up at the same? Do you use the Hunter College or various places?
We have played in various places. We have played at Alice Tully Hall. We've played in Carnegie Hall. In the fall, we played at Jazz at Lincoln Center, which was a wonderful venue. Beautiful.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
fabulous.
It really depends on, you know, but for our gala, we used to go to Alice Tully Hall for many, many years until they kept on raising their prices. So it got to be half of our yearly budget to do one performance, and we couldn't exactly justify that. You know, so we went to Hunter College.
Oh, okay. Now, just to give people the heads up, in terms of getting tickets.
Yes, they can
Like, what's the? How do they get them, and what's the cost, basically?
The tickets are $40, $55. They can get them right at the K Playhouse. I can give you their phone number if you would like.
Certainly.
Their phone number is 212-772-4448.
Okay. And now, is there somebody, just for me to know, is there somebody that handles, like, the public relations kind of thing? In other words, if I want to get press tickets,
if they want press tickets, then they should go through me. They can call our office number, which is 718-888-0635, or they can write to me.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I'll need press tickets. That's what I Okay, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
Because first I have to get the article done, because this has to be, let's see, the thing is on the 24th, so we want this to come out a week before, on the 17th, which means I have to get this, I guess, for the next issue.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to do, is work on this article to get into the next issue of the Times Ledger.
You're wonderful. You're just amazing.
Okay, and probably what I'll do, just to throw it in there, I'll throw something into the Queen's Times that Thursday.
Yeah, great.
Into that Thursday's paper as well to get the...
Uh-huh.
You know, the publicity out there. And also, if you're interested, like, you know, I purposely didn't say any dirty words. So you can link this. You can link this to your website, this the interview, if you're interested, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be actually posting this on my Facebook page. So
awesome. So we'll definitely do that. Yep.
Can hear the whole thing. So is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, we are constantly looking for children who are hungry to learn music, and we always welcome funding support. If anybody wants to, you know, who believes in trying to help us make the world a better place, we have children who are somewhat lost and sometimes end up with us, and we try to get them all organized so that they are more ready to face the world, you know, less lost. So.
Okay. I guess I forgot to ask. So do the children who that become members, do they have to pay for anything?
They do. We have a yearly fee, which is $900 for the year for just the orchestra. Then there's a separate fee for chamber music. But we also have financial aid available. So, you know, nobody should feel that they can't apply because they don't have money.
Oh, okay.
But again, you know, so that needs funding. And I have to say that, you know, one of our students who graduated said something very touching to us as we were trying to prepare to visit his mom, who was in hospice. He said to us, he says, well, you guys not only taught us to love music, but you taught us how to love, which I find absolutely very, very touching. You know, I mean, and that is the message. It's not just about the music. The music is, you know, a very essential part of it, but it's, you know, caring for other people.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm sure we'll get together. It's no sweat. I'll play it for you guys next, other than going to a kosher deli.
Well, absolutely. And then you'll definitely have 2 press tickets.
Okay. I have to talk to you about that because I have to tell you who I'm inviting, because it's in terms of the transportation. Okay. But
yes.
I'm going to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you after I end the show on the number you called in on, so that
I
can talk to you about it.
Yes. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you so much. That's absolutely great.
Okay.
You're
yes, and
wonderful.
Thank you for sharing all this information. And of course, you got my backing on everything you do. So.
Well, you're a sweetheart. You are a real sweetheart. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great evening. And
Thank you, and the same to you.
And I'll chat with you later. Okay.
All right. Very good. Take care now.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye bye. Okay. So. Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing this, and I now am going to, the chickens are taking a nap, so, okay. So, everybody, have a great day, afternoon, evening, and my next show is going to be quite interesting. It's going to be about food, mainly Zingerman's Bakery, located in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I'm going to be doing a tasting as we talk to the owner. So, until next time, ta-ta, everybody.